The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. That's right. It's motherfucking Friday. Thank God we made it to the end of the week. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back.
Friday is amazing.
The only
thing better than Friday is Friday, which we wanted to have today, but both of us just didn't bring the little men. And now it's just the two of us again. Sorry.
We're empty nesters.
We miss our boys.
But at least we have our toys.
And they're making noise.
We in the club. We making noise. Where them boys at? We need to make a playlist of like songs about the boys.
100%.
We are the boys in motion. We give you our devotion, boys.
The boys are back. The boys are back.
They never left.
No, they never leave when we have pillows here.
You're never alone when you're with Strice.
When you're with the Brass and Strass and pillows.
So it's Friday. It's just a fabulous feeling. So well deserved. Congratulations, you guys. Acknowledge the space that you're in.
We did it.
We did it. Congratulations, class of 2004.
We did it.
What's up, Rum?
What do you think this is? Okay. Amateur hour? Okay. I'm not even dignifying that with a response.
No. I just want people to know that, like, I was saying a movie quote, like, in case they didn't know it. Like, what is she talking about, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So if you didn't acknowledge it, people would have been like, Claudia, it's 2022. You know?
Yeah. Do you understand? Unfortunately, I understand.
Can I tell you, I went to the nicest event last night. So Ben played in, like, a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Obviously, they lost in the first round. But
was that Ben who shot the three-pointer?
Yes!
Look at Ben.
So Ben plays in like rail, like all these different leagues, and I never go. And he's like, I'm so good. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you are.
What's rail?
Ramaz Alumni Intramural League, even though Ben didn't go to Ramaz.
Do you expect anyone who listens to the show to know what rail is?
No, it's like a league. It's a league, like it's my high school alumni league, but Ben has a lot of friends who went to my high school, so they let him play.
Okay, so he plays in an alumni league.
And I think he also plays in Hale.
In an alumni league.
In an alumni league. He also plays in Hale. Heschel alumni, his high school. But so this was for charity, for Big Vision.
Do they ever do rail versus hail?
They don't, but the winner of rail should play the winner of hail.
100%.
I'll talk to Michael Abramson. He is the chairman of rail.
And then it could be Nail, the New York alumni. Well,
it would be Janelle, the Jewish New York, because there are other schools.
Okay. Or
it would be Jail. The Jewish alumni intramural league.
Yeah, Jail. Whoever wins gets
goes
jail.
To jail. But so Ben played a 3-on-3 tournament for Big Vision, which Ben's really good friend from high school started this organization with her mom because they lost someone to addiction. And like, it's really just like the nicest organization. They were talking about it last night. Like, so many people like start their journey in sobriety, but like there's no socialization in sobriety. Like, I think a lot of people fall back in because like your friends are all out partying and it's like, it can be kind of lonely. So they throw like so many events for sober people, like basketball nights, bowling, like cool, fun things for sober people to do. And it was just like such a nice event. But Ben did lose.
That's awesome. How can people get involved if they would like to?
Bigvision.nyc. Bigvision.nyc, I think, is the website. So Ben was on a team of three and like the best player, like, didn't come. He was like 20 minutes late and missed the first game. They're only 10-minute games. So it was sad. It was sad. But then the second game, which didn't matter because they already lost, they were great. I'm like, of course you're good at this one. You
right,
know?
In the loser round.
In the loser round, yeah. But it was nice. It was nice.
That is nice.
I thought when Max didn't show up, I thought I was going to have to play.
Oh,
I was
God.
Wearing sneakers and they were like, well, we need a third. I'm like, I'm literally standing right here.
And so what happened instead?
Luch, you remember Luch from high school? No one on his team showed up, so he was alone, and he joined that team.
I feel like you were like dreading them asking you to play, but like you kind of wanted
to. No, I was
to.
Like, No, I couldn't possibly play.
Me? Athletic?
No. Who? I mean, it was only half court, thank God. I would never have played full court. Like, running? No.
But you were wearing sneakers.
I was.
But not a sports bra, I would imagine.
Not a sports bra, and I was wearing a sweatshirt. I was already sweating just sitting on the sidelines. Like, it was not going to work.
Got it.
I would have had to been taken to the hospital.
That's really nice.
It was so nice.
And, like, nice, good fun.
Right. Family-friendly fun. Mm-hmm. Then I went home and watched Southern Charm, which mm-hmm. I wasn't going to watch. Like, when a show has been off for a while, I'm, like, so, like, not
it's
in the mood.
It's hard to get back into stuff unless there's been a lot of press about a certain thing, you
right.
know?
So I, like, reluctantly put it on, and immediately I was just, like, back in Charleston. It was so good.
I told you I was watching, regardless of what, like, it was not mandatory viewing. I just love Southern Charm. It's one of my favorite shows. And it was so good to be back and have all these cast members back. We will recap at the end of the show. And I'm so glad to have it back on my screen.
Me too, especially after interviewing Craig yesterday. Like, it was premium.
And, like, having spoken to Austin, I'm feeling really good about everyone. I really like everyone.
I like everyone except for, like, one or two people.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So, should we?
I guess without
Should
further ado,
where are you?
It's time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by the new Starbucks Baya Energy Drink.
Yum.
With caffeine naturally found in coffee fruit, Ooh. It's energy that's good.
Yeah.
It's a beverage that's crafted from caffeine naturally found in coffee fruit, as well as antioxidant vitamin C. It includes three delicious fruity flavors, mango guava, raspberry lime, and pineapple passion fruit. It's a refreshing fruit-flavored boost. You try saying that five times. A refreshing fruit-flavored boost.
Fruit-flavored boost.
Of feel-good energy in a way that only Starbucks can deliver. The cans are 12 ounces. They have 90 calories and 160 milligrams of caffeine. So if you're looking for a caffeine alternative to coffee, whether you don't like coffee like me or you're just like trying to quit the habit, check out Starbucks Baya. They're so good. Mango guava is fabulous. We have them in the studio. It's a great thing to drink before the show. Starbucks Baya energy drinks are available nationwide online at grocery stores, convenience stores, and gas stations nationwide.
Great. Thank you so much for that, Claudia.
It's a pleasure doing business with you.
It's a pleasure doing business with you.
It really
People
is.
Always say, like, how can you guys work together?
I
how
know.
Can you, like, be sisters and work together? And,
I'm like, how do you work with strangers?
How do you have to, like, go... I guess we don't really insult each other, but we can talk straight to one another, you know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine if, like, I had an issue with my partner, like, having to make time to talk about it.
No, and then it's, like, awkward because you're, like, talking to a stranger, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no, like, no matter... Even if we had the worst argument on the planet about the business, like... We would never break up because we're literally bound by blood. Like,
right.
Our family would kill us.
Right.
So, like, when you think of Call Her Daddy, like, if they were sisters, never would have happened.
Yeah. But then you think of the Jonas Brothers, and it's like, how could that happen?
But that's, like, Hollywood, disgusting venom getting in people's brains,
and
you
that's
know?
Why we don't want to make it to Hollywood.
No, that's why
we
live
here.
That's
why we stay on the low.
That's why we're, like, so low-key.
For the sake of our relationship.
Yeah, that's why, for sure.
It's so important to us.
No, in Hollywood, they call us every day. They're like, Claudia, Jackie,
come
please
out
come.
Here.
And we say, no, we can't.
We
wouldn't do that.
Oriented.
Because, you know, Caroline Manzo said... Blood is thicker than water.
She did.
She was right. It is thicker.
Our first story, our favorite girl is flirting on Hot Ones. Khloe Kardashian reveals her biggest turn on Hot Ones with host Sean Evans. So Khloe got a little turned on Thursday during a Hot Ones interview with host Sean Evans. The First We Feast YouTube series has celebrity guests answer questions while eating increasingly hot chicken wings. Early on in the interview, which was filmed on June 9th, according to a source close to the show, okay, so like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. he congratulated the star on her new house and complimented, quote, what I have to say is without hyperbole, the most organized and impressive kitchen pantry I've ever seen in my life. She said, quote, I don't know if you're flirting with me, but that's the best flirting you could ever give me, complimenting my pantry.
Okay, so I watched the interview. First of all, I have to say, you know, Khloe spoke a lot this season about how she gets like terrible anxiety from interviews, mm-hmm. not from doing them, but like from the aftermath. It's like always something, people taking things out of context. And I always think this when I watch Hot Ones, like we've seen these people get interviewed 1,000 times. This guy, Sean, asks the most random questions. Like he never asks like a classic dumb question. He's so
he doesn't ask what inspires you.
No, like he's asking the most random things that like I've literally forgotten about. So it's always like much more insightful than like a typical late night interview. It's mm-hmm. And it's in depth. It's 22 minutes.
You watched it. What did he ask her?
Okay. He was asking her a lot about her house, a lot about her fitness journey. they talked about her Complex cover, which I totally forgot about. And she talked about how that was like such a big deal for her. And it's still like one of her favorite things she's ever done, because she never was like the sexy girl. And like her ass is out on Complex. And she was like, I love it. It's the best. But it really did highlight like how different she looks, because that was like OG Chloe when she was starting her fitness journey.
Yeah.
Compared to the Chloe we're seeing now. Chloe also did make it through every single one of the chicken wings, which not everyone does, which was like a huge badge of honor.
Wow.
Her makeup, she was hysterically crying, choking. Her makeup was running down her face.
Oh my God.
I think they touched her up because like she had black streaks coming down, and then like they did go away. Like I think she had like a minute to get touched up. But she was like a true girly. Like she, a good sport. She did the whole thing. And I really, every time I watch that show, I really like that guy, Sean. Like he's so insightful and like really just doesn't ask questions you would think of asking. I'm like trying to think of the ones he asked, but they were so fucking random. Like a lot about Good American. Like, he's like, well, is it harder to make a dress? Like, it was just, he was asking, like, he doesn't know about clothing. He was asking about her skincare and, like, actually was taking notes. She's like, he's like, I don't do skincare, but, like, what are, like, the three things I need? She was like, SPF. She's like, Vaseline is a really good, affordable thing. She said she slicks Vaseline under her eyes every night to stop wrinkles. And she was just being like so the Chloe that we know. She was being like cute and funny, and it was an amazing interview.
That's so exciting. Now I need to watch it. And also I just hope this maybe opens her up to doing more non-traditional interviews, because I do feel like when she does the circuit, you know, the late night talk shows, it's a lot of the same stuff. It's a lot of the same viewers, and they can be nasty.
Yeah. But
you know what? Here in the digital space, like, we love everyone.
Yeah, I mean, the digital space can be particularly nasty,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but, let me no, you're going. Right.
And here at the Morning Toast, like, we'll talk about your pantry all day.
No, like, I couldn't even think of one negative thing to say about Chloe.
No.
Because everything that people, like, say negative about her, like, she photoshops her photos, like, I fully stand behind her doing that. Like, look what society did to this girl who was, like, literally 5 pounds overweight when she was a teenager. Look what they made her. Like, she's scarred. She's hurt. I take her side on everything.
No, like, people get so bent out of shape about, like, Photoshop and filters, and it's like, sure, it's not great.
Who
but
cares?
But there's worse things.
Kim, there's people that are dying.
Literally.
Like, so, if Chloe came on here, I wouldn't have one negative thing to say. Like, I could rack my brain for it, and I wouldn't.
Nothing. Nary a thing.
I think a lot of times when there's like Kardashian backlash, most of the time I think it's nonsense. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I could see how you can make that argument. For Chloe, I don't think I've ever had that experience. Like, I don't agree with one piece of negative feedback that she gets.
Yeah.
Ever.
I'd have to rack my brain. But yeah, she's a queen. And I'm
it's
glad.
A great interview.
Wait, so the article's making it seem like they were flirting. Was there a vibe?
There was like something. Like, it wasn't.
Is this guy single?
I don't know.
Should we add him to the list?
I don't know. There wasn't like a vibe, but like they were talking like a little like
flirty.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Chloe acknowledged it. She was like, look at me like flirting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like it was steamy, and it wasn't just the wings.
I could see her with like a
digital personality. That's just what she needs.
That's just what she needs. And he's 36.
Perfect. She's like, what, 38? Like around there?
She might be around 36. Let me see.
That would be perfect. Does it say if he's married or not?
It doesn't say.
He's like a digital personality who has like a private life.
She's 37.
Perfection.
Perfection. Okay. We ship.
Ship is coming in.
Yeah, because I never heard of him as a digital. I don't watch Hot Ones.
You don't?
I know that you really like it.
He, I think he started the whole thing like, it's owned by like a media company, and it was like a web show. And, you know, there's a million media companies that have dumbass web shows that nobody cares about. This one just took off and started getting like really huge views, amazing guests. The first one I ever saw was Jonas Brothers, which was hysterical because they were like answering really like serious questions like about Nick breaking up the band while they were vomiting. Like they were literally dry heaving. It was so good. Chloe, I have to say, even though she made it through and she was like dying, she held her composure the whole time. Her posture was perfect. She had a napkin on her lap. Even though she had tears streaming down her eyes and she was coughing, sucking on ice cubes, she maintained like a level of elegance that was admirable.
This picture of her, she looks unreal.
I loved her outfit. Like she looked great. It was an amazing interview for Chloe, and I want to give as much positive feedback as I can because I think she's used to doing interviews and getting exclusively negative feedback.
Yeah.
Even the comments were like, I mean, I don't really like the Kardashians, but you have to give Khloe credit like for making it through all the things. Like they were positive, but I hate that people have to preface like, I mean, the Kardashians are like idiots, but like
this wasn't bad.
Yeah, like you're an idiot actually. Get off your computer.
Yeah, I could never do anything like this. Not that anyone's asking me, but I couldn't have, you would be the worst.
No, no, literally Tabasco is like, they go up to like level, it's like 150 out of the spice, like barometer. I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's like literally Carolina Reaper. Like you take one bite, but it kills you. That's me when I have Tabasco.
Yeah.
I've never had Tabasco.
It reminds me of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes. Bill Aiden versus Joe Gorga.
Mm-hmm. Bill Aiden should go on the show. Answer some questions.
But now it's gotten so big. Like it used to be like kind of niche. Mm-hmm. Now it's like a stop on the circuit for.
It's like carpool karaoke. Like yeah. Which is good.
Carpool karaoke. James Corden said that he recently filmed a carpool karaoke with like the biggest name in music right now. So obviously I'm thinking Taylor Swift because she's never done it.
I don't think so.
Who do you think?
I wouldn't describe Taylor Swift as the biggest name in music right now.
Billie Eilish? Lizzo?
I have to think. I feel like it's someone like Jack Harlow.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of Jack Harlow, as a follow-up from yesterday, Chris Brown released, like, his album, like, Who's On It? And, like, there's literally so many people on it, and Jack Harlow is one of them, so.
No good.
Not cool.
Our next story, inside Lenny Kravitz's island trailer that was also Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn's love nest.
Right, because, like, nobody really cares about his trailer, but I did see paparazzi pictures of Joe and Taylor in the ocean kissing, which is so not Taylor. Like, she evades paparazzi like it's her business. So if they got to her, it was like a total fluke moment. And then the article was like, they're staying in a trailer by the beach. I'm like, Taylor Swift is staying in a trailer?
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
Lenny Kravitz's trailer. Over the years, Lenny Kravitz has been living the simple life in the Caribbean. And this past weekend, he gave Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, Joe Alwyn, a taste of it. The longtime couple were spotted in the Bahamas on the island of Eleuthera, canoodling in the ocean on Sunday. And Kravitz's silver Airstream trailer was seen situated in the back.
I just can't see Taylor. I mean, I know she like tours, so she spends a lot of time in like RVs and like tour buses. I just can't see like our queen in a trailer, you know?
Yeah, and with your boyfriend, you
know? It's like so small.
And you really get to know someone.
The picture I saw, it's like an RV, right?
Yeah.
It's like on wheels.
It's really, and the inside looks like a tour bus.
Sickening, yeah.
But for a girl who's probably always on tour, I don't know why you would choose to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it brought them closer together. Also, speaking of Taylor, did you see she posted this on Carolina today from Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes, this morning I was inundated with the new Luke Combs album, mm-hmm. so I exclusively listened to that while I got ready for the show.
Me too.
And I need like a personal moment for a Taylor Swift song.
I just watched the clip on Instagram with scenes from the movie.
Are you going to see the movie? Did you read the book?
I read the book. It's amazing.
Oh, really?
Truly amazing. I don't think you should read the book.
That's what I've been told. People are like, you're not going to like it.
You're not going to like it. You would like it if you finished it, but you wouldn't enjoy the experience of reading it.
I feel that.
So I think you'll like the movie, and I will definitely see the movie.
Got it. Okay. I mean, now that Taylor Swift is involved, I'll obviously see it too.
Like, that book is the biggest book since...
The Bible.
It's one of those... Like, it's literally
Fahrenheit 451.
On the bestsellers list for, like, 200 weeks.
That's so crazy.
So crazy, but it is that good, at least.
You know what else is crazy? How, like, Taylor Swift has been, like, dominating the TV and movie industry, like... I guess it's because now she's in charge of the masters that she owns and she's like wanting to make as much money off possible. But like literally the summer I turned pretty on Amazon Prime, they must have used 15 Taylor Swift songs.
Wow.
Every episode had like one or two. Now everyone's associating Where the Crawdads Sing like with Taylor Swift. She's like becoming like a mogul.
Yeah, she's already becoming one.
She's like, she's giving mogul energy this week.
Yeah. It must be fun to be able to license your songs to movies and TV shows that you really like.
And that you have full control over. Like before, I'm sure her label was like giving it out to, you know,
oh, yeah. But also, it's like, if you love this movie, like, you can be a part of it if you want to, even though you're not an actress, technically.
Right.
Also, people really associate, like, movies or shows with, like, a certain song or a soundtrack.
Yes.
And it's like, you get to choose what you want to be a part of. Like, and I'm sure she reads a lot. I'm sure she read Crawdads and mm-hmm. probably read The Summer I Turned Pretty and was like, I hear my songs for this book.
Yeah.
And then she can just make that happen.
That's, like, so cool.
That's also, like, Reese Witherspoon can, like, read a book and be like, this should be a movie. I'll make it.
Done.
And then she could be like, I see this as, you know, Laura Dern. Done.
No, and then she could be
Dern.
Like, oh, this is a Laura Dern. And then she can also be like, oh, this character is so fabulous. She needs a stunning actress to play her. Me. You know?
And I need a job.
No, it's actually like so cool how she can literally like make herself the biggest movie star in the world whenever she wants.
Yeah. No, and she can just like manifest her favorite books into existence
and then put herself at the front and center
in the way that she sees fit, because there's nothing worse than your favorite book being turned into a horrendous movie or TV show with a cast that you would never choose.
I've never seen my favorite book being turned into, but I've seen like books that I've liked turn into TVs and movie shows. Obviously, The Summer I Turned Pretty exceeded all of my expectations. The Hating Game, that Lucy Hale, it was like a fine book and a fine movie. It wasn't like life-changing, but I think that's like it. When Luckiest Girl Alive comes out, like that is the pressure I will put. Like,
yeah.
For me, that is, I was watching this TikTok went viral of people sharing their favorite books, like A Guy on the Street, and everyone was giving like, it was much older people, so it wasn't like Evelyn Hugo, but everyone was literally saying Fahrenheit 451, George Orwell, The Bible, like the classics. And I was like, where are the young people? Because why is nobody saying Luckiest Girl Alive?
Yeah. So that's what you would say? I feel like you would say Evelyn Hugo.
I like them both really equally. Okay, I have two favorite books.
I don't know what my number one favorite book is. I have a lot.
Maybe you haven't read it yet. How exciting is that?
Yeah, I wish. I wish. I'm still reading this book. I started 2 weeks ago and I have to read the Redhead's book in like 24 hours.
Is that Run, Rose, Run?
No, we are done with Run, Rose, Run. Actually, this month's book is called Girls with Bright Futures. It's about, like, I haven't started yet, but the description's like the college admissions process. Ooh. And, like, some competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know.
Who chose it?
Rebecca.
Sounds
and
good.
She got it from the Redheads Facebook group, so she said if you don't like it, that's okay. Where you can take out
I took
anger.
My first recommendation from the Redheads Facebook group.
What was it?
Okay, I'm still reading it right now, but, like, I'm getting, like, desperate. Like, I stalked Kenzie Elizabeth's book club post till the bottom. Mm-hmm. I found one great book, and then I was out. So I only was reading ones that she gave 5 stars. So then I went to the Redheads, and I was just, like, reading comments. And I guess I didn't read enough because I just, like, chose this one book because I read the description, and it was like, if you love The Summer I Turned Pretty and you love Taylor Swift, you will love this book. It's literally Taylor Swift meets The Summer I Turned Pretty. It's called The Summer of Broken Rules, and it is so stupid. I feel like a fucking 14-year-old. Like, it's actual, like, it's not even young adult. It's young kids. Like
I think they call it like middle school.
It's something I probably would have read like in the seventh grade at camp.
Yeah.
And I hate not finishing books. Like I hate only if it's like really terrible. And it's not terrible. I just feel dumb every time
you're
I watch
30.
It.
What are you doing?
Bitch, relax. I'm not 30. I'm 27 for 2 more weeks.
That's crazy.
No, shut up. So yeah, I'm just like feeling embarrassed. When I get to the end of the year and I look over the books that I read, it will be literally books for children, toddlers, and porn.
And that's just a little bit about you.
That's just a little bit about me. So Taylor Swift, our humble queen, vacationing in a trailer. You'd love to see it. I feel like she went to all these lengths not to get paparazzi'd, like as she always does.
Mm-hmm.
And she still ended up getting paparazzi'd, so I am feeling for her.
Yeah.
The trailer wasn't even effective.
But I'm glad she's taking some time for herself, you know?
100%.
Normalize taking vacation.
Maybe she's taking...
If you can get there.
Maybe she's taking vacation to prep for something big coming up.
Yeah.
Like, girl, it's been a while since Red TV.
Okay, but let her live. Like, you're one of these, like, toxic fans who doesn't let their faves take a break.
Bitch, literally, that album came out in November, first of all. The songs are already written. She just needs to get in the studio and sing them. And, like, we can't get new music till we're done with this re-recording. So it's like... Get it out. I'd honestly be happy if she just dumped them all at once, you know? And I know she's, like, making a moment because they're all going to go number one, even if they didn't go number one the first time. I get it. But, like, girl, like, come on. It's 2022. We started this journey in 2020.
Was it 2020?
I think it was November 2020 when she was officially allowed.
Yeah, but then we had to wait till, like, April for
Fearless. And then November. It's just, like, let's go.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Our next story. Is
brought to you.
A little brought to you
by BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment, fatigue, and more. We associate burnout with work, but that's not the only case. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feeling burned out, and BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. There's no bad time to start taking care of yourself. Self-care looks like talking about your feelings. So BetterHelp is here, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home, which is so nice. And the Morning Toast listeners are getting 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/toast. That's betterhelp.com/toast.
Thank you. Our next story.
It's a pleasure.
YouTuber David Dobrik is sued for $10 million by former Vlog Squad member Jeff Wittick after a near-fatal stunt. David Dobrik and Jeff Wittick's falling out has officially crossed over into legal territory. According to court documents obtained by E! News on June 23rd, former Vlog Squad member Wittick is suing David Dobrik for $10 million in damages relating to, quote, general negligence and intentional tort following a near-fatal accident that occurred in June 2020. In the complaint filed in L.A., Jeff said that due to the actions of David Dobrik, he has suffered from, quote, wage loss, hospital and medical expenses, and loss of earning capacity. In Jeff's 2021 YouTube docuseries, Don't Try This at Home, the YouTuber shared details behind the incident that he said caused damage to both his face and skull. Explaining that he was trying to make a funny video with a group of vloggers while they were in Utah, Jeff said that at one point the group decided to place an excavator vehicle in a lake and swing people around from a rope. In his video, Jeff said that David Dobrik was in the driver's seat of the excavator when it was his turn to participate. He said, quote, I tried to make a goddamn funny video for people, but this is where I made a mistake. I forgot the biggest fucking idiot I know was driving it. Almost a year later, David Dobrik addressed the incident on his Views video podcast. He said, quote, in March 2022, David said, the Jeff thing is the fucking worst. That day is like the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I wish I would fucking do anything to take that day back and be like, I wish it was me up there. And it's a shitty, it's an accident. And that's what it was. It's an accident. Later in the episode, he added that at the end of the day, I was the one fucking driving it. It was my video. He got hurt because I was driving. That's it. And I fucking know that. And like I said, any chance I would get, I would take that back. That'll be the biggest regret of my life, my entire life. I really hope there's not a moment that I regret as much as that one.
I mean, I've been confused about this Jeff David thing because, like, at first when it happened, they were, like, cool. And then Jeff was, like, making videos. And I didn't know if it was, like, satire or not. He was, like, talking shit about David. Then they were, like, spotted together. So I never really knew, like, if they were seriously, like, upset about this. Because obviously it's horrible. And it was an accident. So, like, I didn't know if they were actually, like, feuding in real life over this. Now, I guess with this lawsuit, they obviously are. There's a rumor going around on TikTok that Camille Vasquez is representing David Dobrik.
Oh, wow.
Which, like, if I needed a lawyer right now, I'd call Camille up too, so I get it. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's what people on the internet think.
Well, I wonder what his defense will be, because he's admitted, like, this was my fault, I fucked up.
Right.
You know, so...
But does like, a lawsuit, like, can you be sued for an accident? Like, is that dumb?
Yeah, of course. Like, people slip all the time, yeah, you yeah, know, yeah. And then they...
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, like, I think Jeff Wittick probably has a pretty good case, especially given the fact that I think before this incident, the dynamics in the Vlog Squad, which were created by David, like, were extremely toxic, where, like, everyone who was in the Vlog Squad except for David was, like, these dancing monkeys, like, doing crazy things, saying crazy things just to get included and, like, be a part of the squad. So I think when, if this goes to court and, like, Jeff Wittick's lawyers, like, paint a picture of what it was like to be a member of a Vlog Squad, I don't think it was very fun. Like, I think it was extremely toxic.
Yeah, and you, like, create this culture of, like, chaos and recklessness.
And rewarding the most reckless.
Right, and then accidents happen.
Obviously. And, sorry, David Dobrik, why the fuck are you driving an excavator? You need, like, a special license for that.
Right.
And just the concept of going to the middle of a lake, putting an excavator in, and swinging your friends around is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, YouTube, like, prank culture mm-hmm. is so dumb. It's like, was it worth it? No.
No.
Whenever, like, I see these, like, unless you're, like, a trained professional, like, the Red Bull is always hiring these, like, trained, not pranksters, but, like, what's the word? Like,
stuntmen.
Stuntmen, like, to, you know.
Jump out of a helicopter.
Jump out of a helicopter, jump up from the Earth's surface. But, like, they're fully trained people who train. Right. These, like, amateur YouTubers who, like, literally take cars and go up mountains and, like, flip them. It's so stupid and dangerous. And, like, let this be a lesson to everyone. Like, it's not worth the views. Find another niche. Like, knit. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Does David Dobrik, do you think, has $10 million?
You know, it's tough because for a while, like, I think he definitely did. He bought this big house and then he was Cancellation Central. Mm-hmm. So that app he was working on that had, like, huge investors from huge venture capitalists, like, they cut him out of it. So he's not even a part of it. I think a lot of his revenue went down. I don't think as many people listen to his podcast, watch his vlogs. So he definitely has an income. He's not, like, you know, going to be out on the streets, but I don't think he has the money that we all were used to. Like, he, in his old videos, he used to, like, give away $10,000 every video,
right,
and get a sponsor to sponsor his video, which was probably like $100,000, and it was a couple a week. So I don't know where he's at financially now. He's definitely taken a hit.
He probably has $10 million. So, like, remember that puzzle too that everyone yes. bought?
Yeah, I bought two and I never played them. I could literally still have $100,000. They're the hardest fucking puzzle of all time. The pieces are tiny.
Damn.
Tiny. And they're all green.
That was a good idea. It also was a good idea. Completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. I think you would like my coffee today. Oh. Would you give it a shot?
Sure. What's in it?
It's a cold brew with hazelnut creamer and it's like very sweet because I just started using a creamer.
Delightful.
I'll send you all the ingredients.
Mm. Stunning, truly stunning.
Oh my gosh. So it's just cold brew, you guys. And I started using Coffee Mate creamer.
I've used it.
Hazelnut, sugar free. And it's amazing. I actually like, sometimes it's too sweet.
I'm sorry.
And like one stevia.
Will you ever use Coffee Mate and not feel like a 97-year-old Jewish woman? No. It is so niche. Like, no, and I know everyone uses it.
I never used it before.
But they have it at like synagogue. It's like so Jewish. Even though like, I'm sure it's not. Everyone uses it. But my personal like memory attached is just like old Jewish women. They love it.
No, it's so good. Now I get it.
Yeah.
So I'll make you one day.
I would love that. I would love that. Coffee with Harry.
Coffee with Harry. Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Some TV news that makes sense. The Umansky family will be starring in a new Netflix reality show about real estate. Kyle Richards won't be the only member of her family starring on reality TV for much longer. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star's husband, Mauricio Umansky, who owns real estate company The Agency, is set to star in Netflix's new real estate series called Buying Beverly Hills. The series, which comes out this fall, follows the agents and clients within the agency as they navigate the high-stakes world of luxury real estate in LA, according to a press release. Kyle's daughters, Farah and Alexia, who are also both real estate agents, will star alongside Mauricio in the series' 8 40-minute episodes.
I think this is so genius. First of all, it's the Selling Sunset of it all, like beautiful homes. And I find Selling Sunset homes, because they're all in like West Hollywood, to be like kind of boring. Like they're all the same. They all look like prisons, like marble, no color. But the homes that Mauricio sells are like estates in Beverly Hills. They're so different, like aesthetically. I think the houses are going to be so sick. I love a family reality show. I think like Kyle's family is really made for it. Like all the girls, they all work together. I think this is like genius.
This seems like a no-brainer.
And I think it's gonna like take Mauricio like business-wise to like an insane level. Like what? Like think of what Netflix did for the Oppenheim Group when nobody had ever heard of the Oppenheim Group. And like a lot of us have heard of the agency. They're already extremely successful with offices all over the country in Mexico. I think that Kyle's about to buy like a new house. Like I think this is gonna change her life. Like,
yeah,
more.
And now it's like, of course, I think Kyle will be on Beverly Hills for a very long time, but now she has the Netflix connection.
Not only that, if it doesn't work out, she can always be on, it's really like a family show. She can be on that show.
It's like Lisa Vanderpump and Pump Rules. Like,
yeah.
She's still on TV.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to deal with the dynamics of the women. I wouldn't be surprised if like Kyle, you know, puts up with less than she
usually
would have done because she can always just go join Netflix.
No, I didn't even think of it that way. And that must be like so nice, like a safety net. Like, yeah, I can leave the show and still be on the TV, maybe even an even bigger show.
Since Kyle has been a housewife, she's always trying new products, hustling. Like, she did her own show. She's done movies. She does her clothing line. And like, I think this is obviously the next iteration, but I think this is it. You know?
Yes. She, you know, on all the franchises, we get housewives like with their companies. Except we don't really get that on Beverly Hills. Like, we've had a few, of course, like, who could forget the Maluf Hoof, the vodka, Vanderpump Rosé. But they're kind of above that, like, starting skincare businesses. But Kyle is, like, always doing that with her, like, fashion shows. And it's like, so hopefully we get less of that, honestly.
Yeah. I think this is great.
I think it's a no-brainer. 100% genius.
And our fifth and final story on the fifth and final day of the week. It's woo-hoo. Always sad, and it's usually a weird story.
Okay, what is it?
The One That Got Away is a terrifying new dating show that dredges up singles' pasts.
New Netflix show, right?
On Amazon Prime. Oh. The new reality series, The One That Got Away, is a group of singles sent back to the dating drawing board. The idea is to see if their sparks end up flying again with missed connections from their past. This premieres on June 24th on Amazon Prime, and it's hosted by singer Betty Who. This sounds like an ad, but it's not.
By the way, Betty Who, I love
is
that.
Is the host, and the show follows six contestants. They each come face-to-face with a portal, an entrance to the set that's obscured by clouds of dry ice. And as each wannabe lover waits nervously, somebody from their past emerges from the mist, a childhood friend, a law school crush, a flirt from a work conference, an old college study buddy.
I kind of feel like this is like kind of a great idea.
I agree.
This is not an ad. You're right. It does sound like it.
Yeah.
But I think Amazon is now getting in the game because Netflix has like all these crazy experiments and they do really well. So if they maintain the same level of like production value, it could be good. Because I think this is an interesting concept. There's literally like a trope, especially on TikTok, when it's like, I'm at my wedding, but like my fourth grade crush shows up. Bye. Like, you'll always have like something in your heart for people. And a lot of people don't re-explore that.
Right. And also like, but sometimes you do, and it can be rather beautiful. And, you know, sometimes you have to look to your history in order to understand your future.
You know what this is like? That amazing Anna Faris movie, What's Your Number?
How so?
Oh, she goes back with all the guys because she doesn't want to sleep with more guys. So she goes and sees if there's any potential with anyone she's dated
in
her past.
That's an amazing movie.
Is it Josh Duhamel?
No, it's Chris.
Chris, one of the Chris's. Pine.
Captain America. Evans.
Is it? I think it's Chris Pine.
No. It's Evans.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. It's Chris Evans. It's such a good movie.
You guys, watch it. We've given so many good movie recommendations this
week. Yeah.
You know what? We need to start writing down like these best movies that are like
underrated.
Because sometimes I'm looking for a movie. Movies. What's Your Number?
You know what else goes in that category? Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Okay, Tad Hamilton. And you know what else goes out in that category?
Click.
Bad Teacher.
Yes. Click.
No.
No, okay.
No, that's just like nostalgic movie. But
okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Sure, yeah.
I'll just go. It's fine. You misunderstood the assignment.
You're such a bad teacher. Okay, should we dive into TV recap of Southern Charm?
Yes, please, because you want to know why? He's got money. He's in magazines. He's got more honey than any honeybees. Ba-ba-doo, ba-ba-dee-dee-dee. It's easy as the birds and the bees and the one, two, threes.
By the way, Bravo has such iconic.
I know.
Like, you know that it's our time. Also,
these are the best days of your life.
Also, we run LA.
The best one.
Like, the Housewives don't really, they have like, you know, like.
They have their score.
Jingle. But the like random ass like indie songs that they choose for the non-Housewives show. Like, what
Chef's
else?
Kiss. There's really not that many.
Yeah. Ba-ba-doo.
Ba-ba-dee-dee-dee.
So Ba-ba-doo is brought to you by Figs. They're on a mission to make awesome scrubs suited for the women, not the women, sorry, suited for the awesome humans working in healthcare. Forget boxy, itchy cotton scrubs. Figs are engineered to be ridiculously soft and incredibly durable. Using their innovative technical comfort technology, Figs blends comfort, style, and durability into high-performance scrubs that help you perform at your best. So they're functional. They're modern scrubs with a focus on design, function, and comfort. They're proprietary four-way stretch fabric for a ridiculously soft feel. They're moisture-wicking, anti-wrinkle, and anti-odor thanks to Silvador antimicrobial technology. And if you don't know where to start, their super popular core scrubs never go out of stock or style. Now, obviously, I'm not a nurse, but I value comfortable clothing, and I do own a pair of Figs, the core scrubs. And I just think there's nothing better than lounging around in stretchy, soft clothing, and Figs is there for you. So Figs believes that awesome humans in healthcare deserve scrubs that match. Head to wearfigs.com and use code TOAST to get 15% off your first order. That's WEARFIGS.com, code TOAST for that. 15% off.
Gorgeous.
Southern Charm. So I don't know if it's because like Craig was just here, but like the way I stan Craig and the way I'm like proud of him for standing up for himself, and it's like pissing me off that like Austin and Shep are flipping. Here's what's going on. Like, Craig was treated like shit for so many years, and he like dug himself out of this like hole he was in, made himself a successful business, successful lawyer, successful relationship, and realized like the people in his life who were bringing him down and keeping him down are not really his friends. So he decided like for his, you know, own success and own mental health, like to step away from those friendships. And Craig, Shep and Austin are twisting it like you got successful and you forgot who you were. Like, that's not what it is. Like,
no, not
at all. It's so lame and it's a lie.
He got successful and realized he deserved better.
Right.
And that these people weren't here for him and they did not serve him.
No, and maybe the reason why he didn't get his act together for so long was because he was being treated like a kid.
Yeah. No, and it just, you could maybe watch a show and be like, oh, maybe he did leave Shep behind and with his success. Then we cut to Shep calling his dog Craig and we're like, oh, no, never mind. Now I remember.
No, and then you cut to his interview, Shep's
confessional.
Confessional. Like, why would I go to a retail store that sells pillows? Like, that's, first of all, so rude. They sell more than pillows. Two, a Pringle was just there, like, to support your friend.
Right. You don't go to a store?
Yeah. So it's honestly really clear, even though I think Shep is doing everything in his power to make it seem like he's not jealous. Like, he's so jealous.
Yeah.
And like, because Shep is coming off of like not a great couple years in terms of seasons of seasons of Southern Charm. And also, as Craig was telling us, like he has an even worse season this year. So like, it's like the roles have reversed. Shep had Craig had a bad couple seasons, and now Shep is having them.
Craig had a bad couple seasons personally, but the audience has always like loved him, and he's never done anything to hurt like us. You know, he's just like was in a hole himself, and this whole dynamic. And after talking to Craig, I'm glad we spoke to him because I probably would have put more stock into like the Naomi thing. And because it's like obviously Craig and Paige are everything.
She looked incredible, and like it's a really hard room to walk into.
Yeah, no, they're everything. I love them so much, but like I once felt that way about Craig and Naomi.
I know, and if it weren't for Paige, I would still feel that way.
And just to see like that there is some sort of glimmer, not that there is any hope, but that like there kind of was. I thought these two would never speak again, like estranged. Like when it was bad, it was really bad. And like the fact that like the way Naomi talks about him, like he was the biggest love she ever had. It's just so nostalgic.
I know, and like I want to give in to those feelings, but I ride so hard for Paige.
Yeah. Of course.
I hate that they're like making it a thing. And I will say what I fucking love about Craig is like he has no secrets from Paige. Like Paige knows about Natalie and knows about Naomi. And the fact that Austin went over to Paige in like spite and was like, oh, do you know that Craig fucked Natalie? First of all, yes, she does know that. And second of all, you're such a shitty friend. And then he's surprised that Craig never told him that he hooked up with Naomi in Vegas. Like, obviously, you're horrible.
Horrible.
I'm hating Austin and Craig.
I know.
I mean, Austin and Shep. I keep saying.
Me too. But the more I hear about Paige and Craig's relationship, like, the more I love.
And then there's the whole Naomi and Catherine thing. So
that's surprising because remember, it's so crazy how much the show has been through. And like, if you guys have been watching from the beginning, like it used to be so twisted. And you know who I was thinking about while I was watching last night? That piece of shit, JD. Remember him?
Oh my God, of course.
Awful, awful, awful man. And remember when it was like the show was really like a boys club.
Yeah.
And they were so
mean,
especially to Catherine. But then there was one season where the girls started coming out of the woodwork and they linked up. They all like got together before they went over to Shep's house one night, and it was Naomi, it was Catherine, and it was like Danny, and it was so nice to see them come together. And that's really when the tide started to turn. So to see Naomi and Catherine at odds just really hurt my heart.
No, it's definitely sad, but like if I was friends with Cam, I would be mad at Catherine too.
Duh.
Like what she did, first of all, baseless accusation. Cameron's not even on the show anymore. It was fucked up. And I think Naomi's being a good friend by saying that.
Right.
Catherine is unwell. Like, first of all, what was going on with her lipstick? Her whole bottom half of her face was red.
I know, because she was peeling from her retinol, she said.
Oh, I thought it was her lipstick, like, getting all... I was like, she was giving Dorinda...
I think her makeup was falling off because her face was flaking from retinol.
Got it. And the way she was talking to her boyfriend was so disgusting. Like, I was shook. Like, I'm going back to my house. Bitch, you literally live there together. Like,
right. I was still thinking, do you have another house?
No. Like, she was just like, you're not welcome. Like,
because also the way that she even described, she was like, we moved in together and we decorated our place together. And I was like waiting for a butt because that's just, it sounded like half a sentence.
Yeah.
Because remember last season she was living in a house and mm-hmm. she was driving a Bentley and everyone mm-hmm. was like, she's spending above her means. Like, what happened to the house?
No, but the apartment's nice.
And she was fixing up. It was her grandma's house that her grandma gave her. What happened to it?
I don't know. Every season, Southern Charm, people are in new houses.
Especially Catherine.
Yeah.
And Naomi's house?
I think it's her parents' house.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, that's a big house.
It looked like also that girl Olivia's house who was living with her parents.
Yes, yes.
That's obviously like a really wealthy part of Charleston. Need one of those houses on the water. Like, so sickening. Olivia's house was so nice, mm-hmm. and Naomi's bedroom, like that little sitting area, I was shook.
Yeah, gorgeous.
That has to be her parents' house.
Yeah, now that I think about it. Yeah.
It was so nice.
It was really, really nice. So what were we just saying? Oh, Catherine.
Catherine and Naomi. So Catherine is just insane, and she was so drunk, and like Naomi kept her composure because there's literally no sense in arguing with someone who's in a state of mind like that. It's fruitless.
Yeah. No, and she gets so indignant, and like when she leaves, and it's just like, there's no talking to her.
No, and she was like, Naomi, you think you're better than me. And she actually never said that. But by the way, you're acting like I would say Naomi is better than you in this moment.
It was a low moment.
So you were like literally, you were creating
it was that narrative. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the phrase. And then Madison showed up looking so sickening. I literally forgot how stunning she was. And Austin was just giving off losery vibes. And I felt for Olivia. She's like, literally, why am I here?
Yeah. No, and Austin is always just like, no, I finally opened my eyes. I saw the light and, you know, it's over. And if that were true, like, he wouldn't care that Madison is in the room. He's so obsessed with her, and I just love her.
I love her, and I love the way she, like, makes him so angry.
Yeah.
Like, just her mere presence, like, infuriates him. Yeah. I love it.
Someone said something to her, and she had the best comeback, and I was just like, she's just that girl.
She also, like, doesn't give a fuck.
No.
And her talking to Paige was, like, everything. I'm like, yes, queen energy, staying out of things.
Like, I really love the women of Southern Charm.
So do I, much more than the men.
Yeah.
Except Craig is, like, my favorite.
Oh, of course. And the thing is, I actually do like the men most of the time. Just on the show, they just are terrible.
Yeah.
Men, and when they're like in Charleston and like their element, they're just like man children.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole show has been like. All, I mean, it used to be Thomas, but now Shep is 42.
I know. When they were talking about their ages, I'm like, Shep, you're literally like too old to be playing these games. 42.
Like.
And you're still like ragging on your friend who's like successful.
And you're still, you know, not wanting to put labels on things with this right. amazing girl.
It's such a joke.
Yeah.
I have to say, I have so much love in my heart for Pringle. Like, the way I still ship him and Madison, like, you know, two single parents, like, I'm obsessed. And that scene where they went to the store was so nice because, first of all, that store,
that's
it's not
store.
A store. It's a store.
No, and it's, like, in places, like, on Main Street, you know, there are stores like that that just like sell pillows and things.
Of course,
and
it's like a Pottery Barn.
Why not Craig's store?
It's so well
like,
done.
It's so nice. And it's not just like, here's the Southern Charm spectacle. Come take a look. It's like, no, in touristy towns, there's always like things, stores that have, you know, Charleston mm-hmm. merch, whatever. And like, why not Craig?
Totally. I thought I was so impressed, like really so impressed and like so proud of Craig. Uh-huh. And I just love Pringle. Like, I feel like he's kind of irrelevant, but like, I love him.
No, and I ship him with every cast member. What about Pringle and Naomi?
No, I actually think I saw something between Pringle and Catherine.
No, and Pringle and Catherine kissed last season.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And they both have kids, like.
And Pringle and Madison, even though
and
she's
Catherine's
engaged.
Not with that guy right now, right, Caleb?
No, they broke up in real life.
Right. I mean, if someone spoke to me like that, I would break up with them the next day. Like, are you, I don't care how fucked up you are, like, fuck off.
And also, Caleb was.
A Ravenel.
No, but he spoke, when he was talking to Vanita, he was not, like, bad, like, he
no,
was
he's very
a
balanced.
Partner.
Yes, he, yeah. he, like, he's a good.
He was sticking up for Catherine.
But he was also, like, extremely calm, and, like, that's what Catherine needs. Like, he's a good compliment to her chaotic energy. And I think he, like, grounds her in a sense, but she's a little out of control.
Yeah.
And the silk scarf didn't look good on the white jacket. I wish he wore a black jacket. It would have looked so much better. It was bothering me the whole time because it was like an ivory jacket and a stark white scarf. And like, it was just bothering me a lot.
The whole affair and like all the
silly clown
dressing to the
circus.
Nines.
Circus.
And like to just like be in a big room where everyone's just like filming. And at one point she's like, the music's really good. And we're like, what music? Like,
yeah, no,
we can't hear anything.
It was a silly party.
A lot. That happens a lot on reality shows.
Yes, because they can't play music.
They can't play music. They can only invite each other. They have
it has
to get
to be well
like
lit.
Dressed up. And it's just like,
weird.
This is a weird conference.
Also, really sad about Michael.
Really?
I hope Patricia is like taking care of his medical
of
bills. I assume she is. But that was really sad.
That was really sad. And that was really gross with all the dogs.
Like, ugh. That's always happening in Housewife. Like Ramona's dog. It's disgusting. Train your dogs. Like, and we have to look at the shit. Like, it's
right.
disgusting.
Right. Why do they show it
they
to
do
us?
It on every fucking reality show. It's disgusting.
It's so gross. Okay, so now we know Patricia's house smells like dog shit.
Right, and vodka. That was sick.
Sick.
So it was a good opener.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to come.
Uh-huh.
Team Craig for life. We ride at dawn.
Yeah. Team everyone.
Yeah, but mostly Craig.
Yeah. But also, what I don't understand is why Leva, who's also really good friends with Cameron, like, doesn't have the same issue with Catherine that...
Leva is a shit starter. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. That was my final point. The way that, like, Naomi had to be, like, don't make it weird when I talk to Catherine. And she was like, no, I won't. So, like, Naomi knows that about her.
And with Craig, too.
And with Craig. Then, when Catherine and Naomi started going at it, like, Leva was the one who was, like, mediating and then bounced. Like, I think she's a shit starter.
Yeah. I'm excited. I like her. So I'm excited to see what she brings.
What kind
season.
Of shit she starts.
Yeah.
So that was Southern Charm Recap. That was your final show of the week. We are back in studio on Monday of next week. We have shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. And then it's July 4th. So we're off Friday and Monday for the long weekend. We hope you guys can get some time off too. Relax. And thank you for an amazing week. And thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show.
Oh, and our new episode of Breaking Bread is on Spotify.
Today.
In the app store on Spotify today. You can listen to it on demand whenever. So if you're craving a little more toast and you've already got
missed the live show.
And you already got through all the Patreon episodes because there are so many and they're so premium. Head over and listen to Breaking Bread. It was so much fun.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us the Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have an amazing Friday and great weekend, and we'll see you guys on Monday.
Bye.